used to preach in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and when my son Peter was just a little guy, maybe 9 or 10 years old, I preached a pretty strong sermon about sin. And he came to me. We didn't know it at the time, but Peter's got OCD, so like it's real easy to have problems. When you've got OCD, you can have problems with everything, including your faith. And that effort to try to be perfect and sinless was a problem for that 8 and 9 year old boy. And he'd say to me after this, he'd be all worried about his salvation and just brokenhearted about not being perfect. And I'd say, Peter, not everybody feels like you. Some people are hard-hearted. He said, I wish you'd preach for us that are soft-hearted. And I know every time some people are hard-hearted and some people are soft-hearted. This is a chapter or a part of this chapter that's discussing God's purposes with those who have a hard heart. I think it's a very important scripture. I guess they're all very important. But we've been preaching through John chapter 12 in the season of Lent, and we looked at the lady who anointed Jesus with the very expensive oil and the love that she showed, and Jesus' intention to go to the cross, and his saying anybody that's going to follow him has got to be all in, and it's going to be cost to following Christ. It's the pathway. The Christian pathway is the way of the cross. And today we're looking at this particular scripture where Jesus talks about why there are people that want to kill him. And he starts out, oh, I haven't read the scripture yet. I know where I'm going. I figured you must. John chapter 12, starting at verse 36. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Even after Jesus performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. The Lord has believed our message. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they'd be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. This has been a stumbling block for many, many people who would like to be a Christian. They really believe Jesus is real, but they're just afraid what everyone's going to think. And I pray that won't be a stumbling block for you today, for any of you today. Those of you watching on YouTube, anybody. When I first became a preacher, I was 23 years old, and I thought I knew everything. Actually, I was coming to find out I didn't know everything. I really knew everything when I was 19. So I'd had a little time to find out I didn't actually know everything, but I was still full of myself. I'm probably still full of myself. But I went to the little church in Bear Point, Nova Scotia, and I got hired, and I found out after I was hired there were things that weren't in the job description. Does that surprise anybody? You can't get a job and know when you get the job everything you'll have to do. That's just the fact of life, and there's no sense worrying about it. So when I got hired, they said, oh, by the way, you're going to direct camp this summer. And it was I got hired in July. They said, you're going to direct our camp this summer. I didn't know any better. I said, okay. And when I got to camp, I started to try to do arts and crafts because I didn't know any better. There's some things you can do and some things you can't. And I thought, you know what? We'll keep them busy for a week. We'll make homemade Play-Doh and they'll fashion a sculpture and then they'll bake it in the oven and then they'll paint it. And that will keep them busy all week. It kept them busy for one day. And it tied up the ovens, and were the cooks ever mad? But when I think of this hardening of the heart, I can't help but think of Camp Jordan and all those weird sculptures. There were some kids, you know, the clever kids that really made stuff that looked like something. And then there were kids like me. Squish, squish, squish. I'm done. And all of those things were soft until they were baked. And when they were baked, what they were became more or less permanent. The problem we have, or one of the intellectual problems we have in talking about God hardened their hearts, is getting that to fit with the idea that God loves everybody. God loves everybody. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. We know that God loves everyone, so it's hard to get our mind around this teaching. And it's not just here. There's, like it says in Isaiah, like it says again in the book of Romans, it says different places that God hardens people's hearts. And the way I think about it is this. Our hearts are malleable. But there comes a point in time where God says, you've made a decision, you're going to live with it. This is what you've decided. This is your heart. Now, the consequences are, you're going to live with it. It's like going to a restaurant and ordering something, and then they bring you the order and you say, I'd like something else. And I don't want to pay for it. That's not how it works. You made a decision. This is what you thought, and you're going to live with it. And our God is so brilliant and so powerful that he can use even the hardness of people's hearts for his own honor and for his glory. So that the prophecy in Isaiah and its fulfillment here in John chapter 12 and in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is talked about in Romans chapter 9, where it says it's like where Pharaoh's heart was hardened in order that the world might know the name of God Jehovah. That's the reason. And when people's hearts are hardened, it's for it's for a good reason. It's that his name might be glorified in all the earth, like with Pharaoh. And all the world knew that about this God of the Israelites, because he'd brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And so that's one thing about hardening that I want to say. God used their hardness to bring about the sacrifice that would offer salvation even to those who had a hard heart. Because it also says in Romans chapter 11, when they were hardened, were they hardened beyond all possibility of redemption? No. They were broken off so that you, the Gentiles, it likens it to an olive tree and grafting. The natural branches were broken off so that you might be grafted in, but now, after the cross, they also can be grafted in. And we see even in the text this morning that even though the leaders were hardened in order that Christ might be sacrificed for the sin of the world, it says, but even among the Pharisees, there were those, even among the leaders, there were those who believed in Jesus Christ. So the hardening that happened did not preclude their salvation. I just want to make that point. In John chapter 6, it even says, after Jesus' resurrection, after his ascension, after Pentecost, it says in John chapter 6, so the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of the priests became obedient to the faith. I had a friend in, he wasn't really a very close friend in high school because I was a snob, I'm sorry to tell you. But I sat with a guy in biology, I think it was my senior year in high school. And I could see, I came in, I could see he was down. I said, Eric, what's the trouble? He said, everything. He said, I might as well get a shotgun and blow my head off. I said, Eric, if you don't want your life, you might as well give it to Jesus because he can do something with it. And you know what he did? Absolutely nothing. At 18, he did nothing. At 25, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He was hard for a time, you see? And I say this not because don't want to talk so much about getting our systematic theologies all ironed out so that we understand all the complexities of God's will and our will and when it's hard and when it's soft. But I say it because all of us have people in our lives who we feel like despairing about. They seem so hard. And you feel like they're beyond. You're tempted to believe. They've heard the word. They're like these people that are described in the chapter. They even know Jesus is real, but they know him. They know what he offers, but they don't want to surrender to him. They want their reputation. They want their control. You say, they're so hard. And I just want to say, it may be just for time. It may be just a season. Now, it doesn't mean that all the hard people, everyone that's hardened their heart is going to be saved. Because they have a choice. And their lives will serve the Lord's purpose even if they never accept Christ. It's like it teaches in Romans chapter 2, people that reject the Lord or against the Lord, they bring glory to God through the suffering and problems they have in their lives. It's like when my father was 23 years old and he was a really athletic guy, my dad. And he was working in the woods and he was standing on the back, they'd loaded a log truck up to the top, and he was standing on the back of the log truck, and somebody got in the log truck and they started it. My father wasn't aware it was going to happen, and he went off the log truck like this and fell down that length and landed on his back on a log on the ground. And there was a man that was there with his young boy, and he took his young boy and he said, now see, I want you to see, that's all the time it takes to get killed when you're working around heavy equipment. My father wasn't killed, and he heard the moral of the story, even as he laid there with a broken back. But my father's fall, the other guy used that to say, look, it's like, I don't know if you've ever been to a safety training video. Anybody ever had that? Yeah. Forklift. You ever seen the forklift video? I hope it's special effects. I assume they didn't get a volunteer to say, I'm going to let you squish my foot under a forklift. Because it certainly looked like You know, they're acting all friendly and nice. They say, come watch this video. And you go in there and you come out traumatized because it shows that it looks awfully looks like the forklift backs over somebody's foot and they say, see? This is dangerous equipment you're working with. That's... Hundred thousand people a year in the United States die from drug overdose. See? We're all, the whole world is supposed to learn from that. The whole world. We've had people that we know that we've buried. We've been at their funerals for drug overdose. And we're all supposed to take a lesson and understand that the party life isn't everything it's made out to be, right? It seems pretty obvious if you look at it. And there's a people who harden their hearts against God. They harden their hearts. They'll still bring glory to God. All of the warnings in the Scripture, all of the calls to the good life, all the pleading from the cross, all the mercy that's offered. It's supposed to be an object lesson to the world. And I also want to say that I know as a parent that it's awfully easy to think that all your children's problems are your fault. And you if they're hard, if your children, you've got people in your lives that they're hard and you're worried about them, you can say, I shouldn't have done this, I should have done that. And I just want to say, there's no perfect parents in this room. Nobody's perfect. And as we seek to do the best we can, you know, you're never going to have a time as a parent or as an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent where you're going to be able to say to Jesus, you know what, I just don't need your grace today. There are no perfect parents. And I know that the psychiatric community would like to get us all on the couch so that they could say, the decisions you've made are your parents' fault. But I want to say that everybody have their own choices to make. Nobody's at fault for the wrong that's been done to them. But everybody's responsible for the things that they do to others. And we can have peace. We need to have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the state of our kids or grandkids, wherever they are with the Lord. It's not going to help them for us to abandon the joy of the Lord. The Word of God says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I just would point out that Jesus Christ Himself is talked about in this chapter. And the people who were against Jesus Christ, they had seen Him do miracles. Now, you're not perfect and I'm not perfect, but Jesus was perfect and they didn't want Him. That may or may not comfort you. Because what you want and what I want, what we really want, is to see our children following Jesus Christ. We want to see our grandchildren following Jesus Christ. We want to see them surrendered. We want our neighbors to follow Jesus Christ. And though the Bible has teaching about hardening, some of the teaching is discouraging. Let's own it. But I just in closing remind you, I would remind you that many of these people, and particularly in chapter 11 it says, were they hardened so that they couldn't be saved? No. In fact, for closing, I'll tell you a story about a guy in Nova Scotia, my first church, a guy named Bowman Holiday. he was 85, and his father had planted the Bear Point Advent Christian Church. And his brother and all his siblings had become Christians. And Bowman had never become a Christian. And it became proverbial in their family. And the little fishing village, everybody knew Bowman was the black sheep. And Bowman's father and mother had prayed for him, and they died. And his siblings, I don't know how long they prayed for him, but they were all dead by the time I got there when Bowman was 85. And one Easter, just shortly before I became the pastor there, his nephew, Edwin Sears, called him up on an Easter Sunday and said, "Uncle Bowman, how'd you like to go to church with me today?" And Bowman said, "I believe I would." And 85 years old, or he was a little younger than that, but in his early 80s, he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Now, I went to the hospital to visit somebody from the community. They said there was a guy there, and would I stop in and see him? The family asked, so I went to see him. And I went in. He said, "It's no good talking to me. I'm going to die as I lived. There's no hope for me." And I said, "You know Bowman Holiday?" And I rehearsed, everybody knew the story because it's a little fishing village. I rehearsed the story of Bowman Holiday for him. I said, "Don't you give me any excuse why you can't accept Christ. The thief accepted Christ on the cross the day he died." He didn't say a word to me. He didn't respond at all. Jack Nickerson came the next week to prayer meeting. The man had died. And Jack said, "I went in to see so-and-so in the hospital. He couldn't even speak. I took his hand. He could look at me. I took his hand. I said, 'Listen, would you, if you want to accept Christ and his forgiveness, would you squeeze my hand?' He said, he squeezed my hand real hard." Now, is he saved or not? Only the Lord knows. But I'm saying, don't give up on hardened people. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. The Lord, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.